Future Footsteps, TEDx, Adult Villa's theme for 2025. It is all happening right here in Ibiza on the 29th of March at the Palacio de Congreso. We are so excited to welcome our 12 speakers and 4 performance artists on the day itself. So if you haven't got a ticket, please do pop to the TEDxAdultVilla.com website and grab yours now. They are going like hotcakes. Now, for today's edition of our Open Lab special series of shows, I have a woman with me who is actually a women's health specialist with over 20 years of clinical experience and qualifications in acupuncture and a Master of Science research degree. In 2023, she published a book, Menopause, a Comprehensive Guide for Practitioners, the world's first evidence-based textbook on traditional Chinese and East Asian medicine for menopause. Kath also runs an online education company that has trained over 10,000 acupuncturists worldwide. Kath loves to empower women through courses on enhancing health, achieving balance, promoting confidence, and encouraging sexual vibrancy, as you're about to hear a little bit more as we explore what her talk on the TEDx Adult Villa stage is going to be all about on the 29th of March. Kath, welcome to Open Lab.
Thanks so much for having me, Jo.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Finally, I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for so long. I have had a little look at the talk. I've heard a few little extracts here and there. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of background. Obviously, we've just heard about what you do on the island, but I mean, how long have you been here for starters?
So this year, 2025, is my 10-year anniversary in Ibiza. So I run a little acupuncture practice specializing in women's health. And the talk that I'm going to be doing on the 29th of March is about women's secret problems, ones that they're not discussing openly, ones that they're potentially feeling quite ashamed about, and that's in relation to menopause.
Is that something that you sort of experience, obviously, in your practice on a regular basis?
Yeah, look, it started around 10 years ago when women came into my acupuncture practice saying things like, I feel dead from the waist down. They were talking about loss of libido, loss of confidence. For a lot of women, they experience loss of hair, so that there's what can happen as a natural part of the aging process. As estrogen, one of the primary sex hormones for women, starts to decline, there's some pretty uncomfortable symptoms that can come with that. But the great news is that they are preventable, and that the more education and information women have, then the less likely they are to suffer from these sorts of problems.
Fascinating. I mean, it feels like, I don't know, apart from the Davina McCall book that I read last year, actually, I went to India specifically to go and do a bit of research on the subject. Obviously, this happens to every woman in one's lifetime, have to kind of buff up on these things. But I feel like apart from Davina really flying the flag for that kind of, you know, educational role, I don't think there's that many other women apart from you doing things like that.
Yeah. Well, look, certainly here in Ibiza, there aren't that many options. And one of the things I really like to focus on is treatment. So obviously being able to fix things when they are starting to go wrong, but more on prevention. So, and that's where good education, good information, really good access to making changes to lifestyle. So, for example, drinking less alcohol, monitoring caffeine, eating a really balanced diet. And where Chinese medicine particularly excels, as with all holistic medicines, is it's tailored per person. So there isn't a one-size-fits-all. What it means is that for each person, their symptoms are going to reflect exactly what's going on for them. And so looking at what foods they might be eating, medicinal teas, for example, and a really good example of that as a breakdown is, say, ginger tea, which is very warming, versus peppermint tea, which is cooling. Even though it's a hot drink, the elements of peppermint tea are very cooling. So what it means is you can't say ginger tea is good for menopause or peppermint tea is good for menopause. It really depends on the woman's constitution. And that's where having a tailored program becomes really useful and having access to really good information.
I mean, where did you become such an advocate for this? Was it through your own personal journey with this, or was it something that you've always had a lifelong interest in from the day go?
So my interest, as I mentioned, started around 10 years ago when I arrived in Ibiza. And I'd come from London, although I'm from Sydney, Australia. And what I found here was women were coming into my practice that were saying, I feel dead from the waist down, as I mentioned, around libido. But the other thing as well is they were finding it really hard to maintain their lifestyle. And what I mean by this was they were going out on benders, coke, alcohol, drinking drugs and dancing, and really getting knocked over from it. And they said, what's going on? I was like, this is fascinating. I'm really curious myself. So I started looking into what is it with, you know, why is it that women as they age find it very difficult to maintain the high level of demands, that, you know, parenting, dancing, lifestyle, running business. And that's when I hit on menopause being really problematic for a lot of women. So I started going on a deep dive survey and realised that there actually wasn't that much information from a Chinese medical perspective either. So I put together a masterclass. I went to my top leading colleagues, experts in my field, and said, please help me understand menopause. Help me understand what's going on for women as they age. So we ran a masterclass over a number of years, created 24 hours of content, so 12 modules. And off the back of that, then I looked at writing a book using my experts' knowledge from their experience. So it was an evolving process. And now, of course, I'm now 48. I'm going through perimenopause myself, along with all my friends and old school friends, my sisters. So it's now a really hot topic, so to speak, pardon the pun. Menopause is a very hot topic. So I've got a personal interest as well as a professional interest.
I always wanted to start this podcast actually called The Perimentalists. Maybe you could be the perfect co-host.
Yeah, look, and it's one of the things I think it's really hard to differentiate is what is menopause, what is aging, what is being busy, you know, what is reaching a point. But one of the things I would say is one of the reason why I love this particular area of work is it's an incredible opportunity for women to re-identify themselves. So it's a period in life where more often than not, if they've had families, they've grown up, that there's this sort of sense of understanding who you are and getting to a point where it's very liberating for women to come to this point of just recognising it's like a recalibration. It's a second puberty, you know, it's a second chance at life. And I love that idea of reframing menopause as a super positive experience for women.
I mean, it's just a moment, isn't it, as you said, where you can kind of reimagine who you're going to be in this kind of like, you know, second phase of life.
Yeah, they call it the second spring in Chinese medicine. It's considered this opportunity to start again. And what that also means is what we're seeing is for some women, problems that they've had their entire life, either from childhood up until adolescence, through into adulthood, can actually be thrown out. Skin problems, hair problems, confidence problems. So it is a chance to redefine. And one of the other things we see is women get to a point where they become super fiercely independent. What that can mean for some people is a change in their relationship status. So it's a really interesting, turbulent time for some women to be going through, say, a divorcing process or end of relationship. But on the other side of that, women are often coming out super powerful. And that's what I love to see. And we're seeing it a lot in our communities. We see women, older women, really holding their role within the community. And that's why I think while there's a lot of negative aspect around menopause and we talk about the suffering or the mental health and some of the negative symptoms, is what I want to be focusing on all the good stuff that happens on the other side.
That is novel. You're absolutely right. I mean, any Instagram account I've ever followed just always has these ridiculous memes about, you know, all of the symptoms and all the craziness and all the terrible things that are going to happen to us. And, you know, sometimes you just do kind of feel like you're almost like waiting for those things to start happening. And it's just like, oh my God, it's coming. But you just like, you know, it's almost like you manifest it in some ways because you're kind of like expecting it.
Yeah, and look, it's one of the things too, you know, I look at my experience from childbirth. You know, when you see on TV childbirth and it's women in stirrups and they're sweating and screaming, whereas I had a lovely home birth and just went, hang on a minute, what we see is bad press for being a woman. And I'm really keen, and you're a little bit like rebranding. I see menopause as this opportunity of growth. And one of the lovely frameworks which I came across in the researching was this idea of the grandmother hypothesis. I don't particularly like the name. I'd like to rebrand that as the matriarch effect. But the theory of the grandmother hypothesis is that humans are one of the few species of animals that go through menopause. And we share that with a bunch of whales. So our sea creature companions are what we're looking for is this model of why is menopause beneficial for the entire community. And the theory behind that is, as we age, women are an incredible treasure trove of knowledge, and that to the population, our information and our role is best served by leadership. And I think that that's a really wonderful thing to cling on to, this idea of the matriarch effect, otherwise known as the grandmother hypothesis. But that at the end of the day, that aging women as they age have this incredible role to play and really need to be valued. And I think that's something that's being missed sometimes in that menopause message.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I didn't know that Wales were our only counterpart.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's one of the lovely things is that Wales have this matrilineal passing of knowledge. And so, you know, we scientists are looking at whale populations to understand that what the role, why would there be a benefit in a species going through menopause? And this is one of the leading theories.
I think my most unfounded factor of all of this is that we're kind of told that we're going to turn into a whale during the menopause period anyway, because apparently we're going to get this great big spurt and growth around our middle and get this, like, you know, absolute spare tire that we can't apparently possibly be able to shift, which is just another story, I think, that's, you know, told to women of our age. And I don't know, really, I've just been on a massive fitness mission for the last 2 years, and I was like, okay, that is not going to happen. I refuse to allow this. And actually, I mean, I've definitely had a little expansion over Christmas, but I feel like I've managed to keep it at bay, and I don't think it's any different to any other middle-aged person in general. Of course we're gonna, you know, we slow down a little bit in all directions.
Look, and you just hit on something which is really a passion of mine, and that is, from all the research I've done, people are often asking me, what's the number one thing for menopause? And I would say exercise. Age-appropriate exercise. And what I love about it is it has its physical benefits, it has its cardiovascular benefits, and of course it has mental health benefits. One of the other lovely things, and that's a really casing point, is that people going through menopause often get to a point where they just don't care. And that, I think, is really liberating as well. So I think what happens as women go through physiological changes, you know, accepting that the body changes, is there's this wonderful and, you know, wonderful model to look for, and that is the care factor, you know, that the, so increasing exercise and also looking at the care factor coming down. I think that's a really great, it reminds me actually of when I first got my first pair of glasses, and I put on reading glasses for the first time, and I saw myself in the mirror and thought, oh crikey, I've got so many wrinkles. So I took the glasses off and went, oh, that's perfect. I thought, how perfect is this? My face is aging. At the same time, my eyes are deteriorating. So therefore, it's sort of self-protecting. So it's that same idea of just going like, just walk around, don't wear glasses. Just don't care so much. So, you know, there's an element of, yes, yeah, certainly accepting what you can control. And there's, you know, there's natural parts of aging which we can at least mitigate. And obviously eating well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the reducing alcohol. And when I talk about age-appropriate exercise, what I mean by that is I always say to my clients, exercise to 70% of your ability. So when you're in your 20s, you want to shoot for 90% output. In your 30s, 80%. As you old, you know, past 40, you're really looking at exercising at about a 70% capacity. You don't want to be, you know, that whole idea of, you know, training till you vomit. It's really, and hence things that, you know, there's particular styles of training which I won't name specifically, but we all know the ones which encourage high exertion, high impact, and thinking, well, actually, I don't think that's really age appropriate anymore. So finding an exercise that you love doing, dancing, movement, walking the dog. And I think that the key to that message is regularity. Just do lots of it. You know, do it twice as much as what you might do a short, high-impact class of some sort. So I saw some women boxing the other day, and I looked and thought, yeah, that's time-limited. You know, there's a point at which that really hard impact on your joints, and thinking it's not, it starts becoming counterintuitive to working out and staying fit mind.
I think the whole hand-eye coordination thing is a thing as well. Like I took up flamenco about, well, it was actually right before the very first TEDx with the teacher who did the most incredible performance to open our very first TEDx Del Vila at Can Ventosa, Maria Garcia. And I went to her classes quite a few times, but in the end, I was like, I'm never going to catch this, and I'm never going to look like Maria. It was a tragedy for me. I was heartbroken to witness the fact that I was just never going to have enough coordination to dance flamenco, or the ability to do all the mudras with my hands and trying to get my feet and hands doing something, you know, completely different all at the same time, and stay with the music was basically nigh on impossible.
Yeah. I often encourage women, you know, certainly as a, you know, we talked about sort of re-identifying who you are, looking at starting the second chance, you know, second spring. And I always say to women, what's the thing that you would like to do creatively? It's really important to be creative, to be active and creative. And singing is actually one of them as well. And it's funny, when I was doing some research around vaginal atrophy, as I mentioned, I typed in vibrators for menopause, and it came actually up around vibrations and the idea of the vocal cords. And as you sing and as you resonate, this sound comes from you, that also has healing qualities as well. So whether it's dancing, whether it's singing, playing the piano, taking up an instrument, learning Spanish, oh my goodness, you know, trying to put some time into learning another language, talking about neuroplasticity and brain development. But yeah, all these little things that we can be doing to increase our learning and capabilities. It's every little bit helps towards having a good and happy and healthy life.
Let's talk again about the booze situation, because you said, you know, that you feel like people kind of probably get to a point where they really realise that drinking at this age or this point in life with the perimenopause is possibly a cataclysmic kind of like clash of things that the body can do with that, you know, activity. And it's, you know, as much as it's relaxing to have a glass of wine or two or three, the effects of that sometimes I think can obviously, you know, be very detrimental in terms of, you know, what the desired effect perhaps was and what the actual outcome is within your person.
Yeah, alcohol's one of those tricky ones, because, you know, I am not an extremist in saying don't drink, don't smoke, blah, blah. But it's recognising, you know, at the end of the day, it's making those informed choices where you go, oh, gosh, I'm going to go out, you know, pass one or two glasses of wine. Is that pleasure to suffering ratio worthwhile? And it's, you know, again, I mentioned that was what inspired me to follow this as a area, was looking at how the choices we make start to impact on what we do. And alcohol just seems to be one of those ones that, yeah, you just get to this point where it's actually the hangover just isn't worth it. And I've heard this wonderful expression, Joe, it's that the juice just ain't worth the squeeze. You know, and that's sort of, it's just like that return on investment. You don't get the pleasure versus what you get out of it just isn't worth it. So, and you know, one of the other things, I'm only a very recent convert to yoga, but certainly appreciating that getting pleasure from other things, it's recognizing, and this is where I say I would also differentiate between, you know, having sex and the pleasure from post-sex versus, you know, post-drinking, and thinking actually if you're going to look at your pleasure reward pathway, then that's a much better return on investment. So again, that's another shout out to the husbands and partners out there, that men listening, that might be worth looking at, where women can benefit from sexual pleasure over drinking and intoxication.
Thank you for that. I loved that little analogy. I actually, unfortunately, just seen the time. You and I could literally talk about this for hours, I'm sure, and one of these days I hope that we will. If there was a soundtrack to your talk, your experience on this particular journey, can you think of any song that might match?
I can't help but think I could touch myself. You know, I just think it sort of fits with the idea of sexual autonomy for women. Puts women in the mood of being relaxed and happy, and certainly feeling really confident in that sexual vibrancy. So, you know, maybe sexual healing. Maybe that might be the one that we go for.
Yes, I like that. Bit of Marvin Gaye, can't go wrong. Kath, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you. I cannot wait to introduce your talk on stage at TEDx.Vila on the 29th of March at the Palacio de Congreso. If you do want to go and grab a ticket, Kath has turned you on slightly. You can go to tedxdoltvilla.com to get one of those and join us. It's going to be an incredible day. 12 speakers for amazing performances. And I'm really going to try very, very hard not to say vagina when I bring you on stage, because I know what's going to happen.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Joe. And I'd also big shout out to the TED team, because it is the most fabulous group of people we're working with. I am so excited to see my fellow TED speakers and their talks and how different they all are. So if menopause doesn't interest you, I assure you there's enough on the program to keep you going, because there's some really fantastic speakers. So thanks again for having me on the show, Joe.
I know we shouldn't have favourites, but what is your, you know, who have you connected in the speaker world that you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to see that one go live?
Well, you know, you've heard me talk today about healthy ageing and living a good life. One of my co-speakers, Sierra, will be talking about having a good death. And that is really powerful. So, you know, if my take-home message is how to live well, then Sierra's, without stealing her punchline, it's how to die well. So I would really encourage people to look up her work. She's a beautiful speaker. I've loved hearing her talk so far. I think that's going to be one that will be very moving for every person in the audience.
One to watch from Kath Berry. Thank you so much for the hot tip from the top. We will see you on stage in about a month and a bit's time.
Thanks again, Jo.
It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel. Coming to you every day.